This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome to the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. This is week 23 of our podcast this year. I'm Carl Scamenti, and I'm joined as always with Dr. Frank Rossi. We always like to start our conversation, Frank, with the weather, and in the past week in the Northeast, it's been dry and has felt fairly cool. Now, a lot of the time we have a hard time comparing our feelings of recent weather patterns to historical norms. Where exactly are we this year in comparison to historical averages?
Yeah, well, certainly in relation to normal, based on what Art DiGaetano told us this morning, was that we're actually a little bit behind. Now, of course, we've been warming for a long period of time, and so now having a cooler year makes it feel much cooler. We've got spring-like problems showing up through the landscape. Whitea patch, annual bluegrass weevil still active out, Marie says, on the tip of Long Island. I think in general, the high pressure we've been experiencing here is giving us this dry weather. Also kept that hurricane in place down there over our friends and loved ones in the Texas area that are just, you met when you start measuring rainfall in feet, Carl, you know we got a big problem. So, you know, the thing that I would say the weather has consistently brought us is ideal growing conditions, which has raised a lot of questions among a small but growing parts of society, especially urban societies that are mowing their lawns regularly, asking about how I can mow less.
Right. And this is a topic we've addressed basically all year, is these ideal conditions, the timely rains. The grass is growing like crazy, and people are basically just struggling just to keep the grass cut at a reasonable height. So you've gotten some, you know, questions from homeowners and maybe some landscapers too, that, hey, what grasses can I plant that are going to allow me to mow less?
Yeah, and so that, you know, we started tackling this with research a few years ago, Carl, back when during the financial crash in 2008-09, we had started some work because the campus was interested in climate zero, you know, net zero energy, more sustainability, mowing less became a big component because a fair amount of energy is expended to mow the turf on a campus like Cornell. So the biggest thing you have sometimes is, you know, if you just let your areas go and they look, you know, you stop mowing them, they look like ratty and rough, and that's not typically the appeal people like. So if you're going to incorporate new grasses, so it immediately says most of the grasses we have, if you let them grow, they'll look like meadow grasses, but, you know, they'll lodge, it'll, you know, it doesn't appear to me that that's an aesthetic that the urban environment's going to accept anytime soon. Maybe someday, but I wouldn't say right now. I think the manicured lawn still remains a big part of American society. So with that as a backdrop, you got to get different grasses in there and grasses that grow slower. But the trade-off is, you know, they're not always going to look green in the summertime. And if you start irrigating those grasses, and they're primarily in the fine leaf fescue area, the chewings and creeping reds, typically, if you want your lawn greener and plan on fertilizing it and watering it, you're not going to have a high population of fine fescue to begin with. But if you do, it'll be the chewings and the red. And if you go the other extreme where you let the lawn be more seasonal and you really want to stop mowing it and let it dry out and put a flower up and long term be very weed free and very dense with turf, like many native areas, natural areas, high grass areas on golf courses, you need hard and sheep's fescue. And there's a bit of a debate between whether it's a sheep's or a hard, but in generally in the hard fescue area. So there are trade-offs for that benefit. Now, it also raises the question, as we've talked about warm season grasses as we wrap it up.
Yeah, so on last week's episode of this podcast, we were talking about the warm season, cool season grass systems we were seeing down Long Island. Nick Menchek had mentioned them specifically with zoysia grass. And, you know, in this conversation, zoysia grass isn't a huge upright growth grass. It can get a little thatchy, but doesn't grow very much vertically. And that could be an option potentially for a low maintenance, low mow lawn, right?
Yeah, I mean, they don't grow a lot vertically that require a lot of mowing, and they stay relatively green for the periods of time that they're green, right? Zoysia grasses are going to not really be consistently green until air temperatures are 50 to 55 degrees and you're well out of the 30s at night. It's a very, very slow growing grass. And I think one of the reasons, you know, you see organic matter buildup and some issues is, you know, no one really manages this for it. We don't really talk about the management of zoysia very much because it's sort of viewed in the Westchester County and Long Island areas as well. It sort of got here and I live with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can try to kill it with tepramazone or Pilex, but even studies with that has not shown it to be effective. So as we've been talking about, maybe a hybrid long-term a system between a warm season grass like a zoysia and a cool season grass like a fescue could be a nice low maintenance mix that fits the niche in both ways. But again, more research is definitely needed in these areas, but I'm very happy to see a lot of work going on nationally, quite a bit south of us in turf areas, but more work going on nationally about these hybrids.
Yeah, and I think that's a good place to wrap up today's Shortcut Early Bird podcast. We always love these new ideas and pushing the turf grass industry forward, trying to continue to find better solutions and more sustainable solutions to some of our issues, our most common issues. We'd encourage everybody to check out our Twitter and Facebook again for weekly updates. We'll see you again next week. Take care.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.